York City bombing suspect Ahmad Khan Rahami, Linden Mayor Derek Armstead.
Within moments, the suspect fired on him, and thank God that he had his vest on, and I think that was very helpful for him. I think that saved his life.
Authorities say then Rahami allegedly started firing at passing cars. Another officer hit with a grazed bullet. Rahami was apprehended and taken away in an ambulance. On Elizabeth Avenue in Linden, Scott Pringle, New Jersey.
President Obama talking about the dual terror attacks over the weekend, saying the Minnesota terror attack has not been shown to have any connection to the New York attacks. USA Radio News.
Have you ever come home from work to find out that the power's out? You reach the power company and they inform you that it'll be out for another 8 hours. Panic sets in. You've been told to prepare for this before. Bottled water, radio, flashlight, easy to prepare meals. And for the next 8 hours, everyone is on edge. No AC, no TV, no hot dinner tonight. What will happen to your family if this same situation were to last 2 days, a week, or even a month? This is Colonel Rusty Humphreys to tell you about Heaven's Harvest. Heaven's Harvest has long-term storable food and water products that will ensure your family's well-being through any man-made or natural disaster. Don't wait for the power to go out. Go to HeavensHarvest.com and secure your family's well-being today. That's HeavensHarvest.com or call 800-516-4773.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The horror and anguish of that dark day were seared into our national memory forever. It was the worst attack on our country since Pearl Harbor.
President Trump speaking at the Pentagon at a 9/11 memorial. Memorials taking place all around the country to commemorate the 16th anniversary of the attacks. Vice President Pence was in Pennsylvania at the Flight 93 Memorial.
I will always believe that I and many others in our nation's capital were able to go home that day to hug our families because of the courage and selflessness of the heroes of Flight 93.
Hurricane Irma, now a tropical storm as it continues to weaken as it heads north across the Florida Panhandle into southern Georgia before heading into Alabama and Tennessee. Officials in Jacksonville, Florida, telling residents in low-lying areas to head to higher ground because of flooding. USA Radio News.
Where can you go for the finest jumbo white butterfly shrimp rolled in panko breadcrumbs and cooked to golden perfection? Only at Long John Silver's. Try the new panko butterfly shrimp. Wait, what? You want more? Well, for a limited time only, you could kick up the flavor with our sweet and tangy sauce. What could possibly top this? You could add a delicious deep-fried Twinkie for only 99 cents. Because at Long John Silver's, you deserve more. At participating locations, see store for details.
Getting your flu shot at Walgreens is easier than ever. Just walk right in, and there's no cost to you with a $0 copay with most insurance. Plus, when you get a flu shot, you help provide a life-saving vaccine to a child in need through the UN Foundation. Swing by your local Walgreens anytime to get a flu shot and help make a difference. Get a shot, give a shot. It's that easy. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Through August 31st, 2018, for every immunization given, Walgreens will donate 22 cents up to $2 million. Vaccine restrictions apply. Talk to your pharmacist to learn more.
Correspondent Scott Pringle was at the 9/11 Memorial in New York today and files this report.
Well, from young children to adults, they take turns reading the names of their loved ones killed on that fateful day.
Swarna Chalasani.
And my uncle, rescue one firefighter, Gerard Terrence Nevins. We love you and we miss you every day.
16 years later, family members like Rob, who lost his father, say they still don't have remains of their loved ones.
They did find a mangled but not melted credit card of his months later. So that's the only thing we have.
At the 9/11 Memorial, Scott Pringle, New York.
There are no passenger flights coming out of Miami International Airport today. The airport said in a statement some airlines are flying personnel and crew members to Miami in preparation for flights to resume. Damage and security assessments are taking place to the facility and infrastructure. Officials will then determine if flights can begin tomorrow. USA Radio News.
Fall is the best time to feed your lawn. With 10% off Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Weed and Feed and Fall Lawn Food at the Home Depot. Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard feeds your lawn to build strong, deep grass roots for winter when you need it most. So it'll be lush, green, and beautiful next spring when you want it most. Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Weed and Feed and Fall Lawn Food. 10% off now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through October 4th.
Hillary Clinton is putting the blame on racism for her losing in the presidential election to President Trump.
The former Democratic presidential candidate told CBS's Sunday Morning that Trump was successful at referencing a nostalgia that would settle grievances for millions of people who were upset about gains made by others. Host Jane Pauley asked if she meant white people, and Clinton said yes, millions of white people. The former Secretary of State said she is done being a candidate and will not seek the party's nomination in 2020.
Police in Washington, D.C. have two people in custody after they decided they were going to remember 9/11 by throwing unidentified items over the White House fence. The north lawn of the White House was evacuated and the White House thrown into lockdown when the incident happened around 10:30 this morning. The items appeared to be a yoga mat and a sign. There's no reported injuries. The White House no longer in a lockdown. No word yet on the charges that will be filed against the two. The fraternity house at Penn State University, where a pledge was fatally injured in February, reopening for limited use. The Beta Theta Pi house opened its doors late Friday for the Penn State University of Pittsburgh football game, alumni being invited to stay at the home for football games. The house was closed after sophomore Tim Piazza became severely intoxicated during a hazing event, fell headfirst down a flight of stairs, and later died. Penn State banned the fraternity and says it has no supervision over the privately owned building. You're listening to USA Radio News.
And we're live here in the studio. I'm Georgine Trinkle, your host today at Hot 100, and it's September 11th. And we start our broadcast remembering September 11th and all of the people that have perished and those that risked their lives and the survivors that are still living with post-traumatic stress disorder and the many different health ailments that came to the first responders. So they are heavy in our thoughts today, and we are with them. And today we have someone in the studio. So we actually have a guest. He hasn't been able to escape, and Chris locked the door on his way out. So he's here for the entire hour. So I'll be happy to be talking with Michael Stephen Daigle, who's a local author. We're celebrating what was Literacy Day, I think last week or the week before, with a local author here from New Jersey who writes about a fiction town in New Jersey that I have not pinned down, although he tends to point me towards Morris County, but I feel sometimes like it's more in Warren County, but really it could be anywhere in New Jersey. So we're going to delve into that a little bit more. And we have a busy day here. We have one of the books in front of us, which if you go to our Facebook page, you'll see The Weight of Living, but I happen to know that he has another book coming out that's in the works right now. And I know I can't pinpoint him on a particular date when it will be published, but we can talk a little bit about the process as always, which is very important. And we'll do our quote for the day from George Bernard Shaw. Progress is impossible without change, and those who cannot change their minds cannot change anything. And we certainly need our authors to help us to examine, explore, and entertain us in our minds and stretch those boundaries, if it's fiction or nonfiction. So we are going to be experiencing some of the work of Michael Stephen Daigle. I hope you stay with us. We have some commercials to do, and then we'll be back here in the studio.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot 100 every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot 100 provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics. That was a nice little surprise. Chris, our radio manager here, did a 30-second commercial for me on Hot and Hunterdon. So that's the first time I was hearing it. And of course, because I'm me, I was talking through half of it. So hopefully that'll come up again in the hour so we can hear it and maybe I can close my mouth and be quiet for 30 seconds. Not likely. So we have some weather to share. Today, really, yesterday as well, such a beautiful day. Our thoughts are with certainly the other individuals across the country, if it's Texas, the Caribbean, Florida, and I understand the tropical storm was heading towards Atlanta in Georgia, which is very unusual for Atlanta, so inland, to have a tropical storm. So we are thinking about all of you, and our weather is actually beautiful. Yesterday was beautiful, and today is as well. And if I was doing my job here, I would have it up on the screen. So this is what we have. Beautiful sunny skies with a high near 75 today. Tonight we have mostly clear skies with a low around 51. So if you are a pool owner, 51 is just way too cold when you still want to be swimming on the weekend. So we're going to mildly protest the low around 51. Tomorrow we have a beautiful day, mostly sunny with a high near 81. And that's because I was supposed to be on vacation, but I'm not. So it's going to be beautiful for certain. Tuesday night, we have some showers coming in after 2 a.m. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we all have a chance of showers. But the highs are in the 70s. We have 77 degrees on Wednesday and a high of 82 on Thursday with just a chance of showers. So if you want to go to the beach this week, tomorrow is definitely the day. It's absolutely picture perfect. Watch the waves, though, because there's from the storms, there's a lot of undertows. So be careful if you go swimming. Just enjoy the beach. It's the perfect time, and there probably won't be a lot of crowding. So that's the best time to go to the beach, if you ask me. We're going to do a commercial, and then we'll be back to talk to our guest.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we're back in the studio, and I have my guest, which I can now introduce, Mike. Yeah, there he is. But I didn't make you live. I have to see if you're going to behave or not. All right, I'm going to let you.
Hi, Georgine. Thank you for having me back. Appreciate it very much.
And that voice is Michael Stephen Daigle, not a frequent, but we don't have a lot of friends around here. So if you come back more than once, you're a frequent guest here at Hot and Hunterdon. So you've now been labeled a frequent guest here at Hot and Hunterdon. And we really appreciate you coming out. I know you're very busy writing and working.
Yeah, it's a badge of honor I wear proudly, so I'm glad to be here. Appreciate it very much.
Oh, we're excited to talk about Frank, who is part of the series. You do a lot of writing. You know, certainly we were talking now about your books because you have a series, the Frank Nagler series that we've been following here at Hot and Hunterdon. You have three in the series, and now you're doing the crazy thing, and you're doing a prequel.
Yes. Part of the reason we're doing a prequel is the original version of the Frank Nagler story was what became the second book. The title of it is The Game Called Dead. In the original version that I wrote when I was like 23, it was your standard cop and robber sort of serial killer mystery. It wasn't great, but it wasn't a bad place to start. So later on, I said, well, I could rewrite that. I already wrote it once. The story took a left turn and became the swamps of Jersey, mostly because I had moved to New Jersey and I had to relocate the book that made more sense. So I wrote it as the swamps of Jersey. And then when that got done, I said, well, you know, I still have The Game Called Dead. I'll write that the second time. Tried it again. I kept the title. And turn the whole plot into something else. It became much more of a game between Detective Frank Nagler and his police officers. And the criminal who gives himself an internet nom de plume named hashtag Armageddon. And so they duel online and then they duel in the streets, and it's set up as a game. There are rules, and the character that changes the rules and wins eventually wins the whole game. It made the plot fun because you didn't know when the rules were going to change or who was going to change them. And for a long time, it seems like the only one who understands this is Armageddon, who in fact goes online and lectures the police and says, I'm trying to teach you how to play this game. And every hint is a clue. And every clue that I give you means that someone else is going to die. So catch up. I would really appreciate it if you'd catch up. What he doesn't understand is that the police have this whole background plan to catch him that I don't really explain until the end of the book.
Now, Mike, you jumped right in. So I'm going to give our listeners and the readers that listen to this show a little bit of background. So you are an author. You're local out of New Jersey. You have 3 published books from the publisher.
Imzadi Publishing of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
So my win for the whole hour is that if I never have to say the name of that publisher.
Okay. That works.
So you have a publisher that's been with you for all 3 books.
Right.
And your books are on sale at several different online retailers that most people would know. They're at Walmart.com.
Mm-hmm.
They're at BarnesandNoble.com. They're at Amazon.com.
Right. And Kobo.com, which is a Canadian online site. Interestingly enough, and I'm not quite sure why this happened, I noticed on Facebook that Barnes & Noble was running an ad, and included in that ad was The Weight of Living. And I honestly have no idea. No one ever contacted me and asked me if I want, which I would, of course, said yes. It may be that in the last couple of weeks I clicked through their website, and maybe it generated enough clicks that they put it in an ad. But the next thing I know, there it was on Facebook, my book being advertised by Barnes & Noble. It's like, thank you.
That's really exciting. And we should tell our listeners, and by way of this broadcast, also all the readers, that you also really are writing in a way that most people who have access to the book and have read the book really enjoy it. And last year, I believe it was last year, you had a online contest. Your book was nominated. It was something that you didn't even submit, but it became a nomination.
Two things happened. My publisher on Goodreads put out a sign-up giveaway for the entire 3 books, the game called Swamps of Jersey, Game Called Dead, and The Weight of Living, and it got over 9,000 applicants. And so one person won all 3 books, and I was just amazed at the numbers, because I actually began to check some of those other Goodreads giveaways. And many of them went on for 9 months. We went on for 6 weeks. And some of them went on for 9 months, got 2,000 hits. And it was like, okay, that really works for me. You know. And the result was I noticed a lot more people signed up on Goodreads to put the books on their to-read list. They haven't read them yet. I don't know what your problem is, but get to it, please. You know, if you're going to read them, read them. Thank you. But it generated a lot of income. The other thing that happened is that I entered a contest. A friend of mine who's a writer in Texas told me about this company, and Swamps, or A Game Called Dead, became one of their top 200 books published in 2017. And they had about 9,000 or so entries, and that was pretty good. And they gave me a little sticker that I can put on the books. And you never know. You just never know who is going to like it. The question that Georgine asked earlier is, why write a prequel? And several people have asked about, they wanted to read the original Charlie Adams serial killing story. And I'm trying to do my best not to wander away from that. The question that comes is, how do you write something fresh that you know so well? And Georgine's signaling at me. So.
You don't have to give away all my secrets, Mike, okay? But there's a reason that the camera that's in the corner is not turned on, so I could make signals and funny faces and motions, and you don't tell the listeners. But I see you're not on board for that, so I am totally, his mic just got cut off. But I did want to, before we go to commercial, so we really did just jump right in, I want to mention the name of each of the books. The first book in this series, the Frank Nagler series, which we're really focusing on today for National Literacy Day, was The Swamps of New Jersey. The second book, which is sort of my favorite, is because it was so strategic, and the writing was so strategic, and the placement of the story I just felt was really strategic. That's A Game Called Dead. And then The Weight of Living, which wasn't published, but was getting ready to be published the last time you were in the studio, which now we have a copy of and can talk about that a little bit more. That is the book that you, obviously all three books are on sale in those national chains we talked about. But now you're working on the prequel, which we'll go back in after our break and talk a little bit more about that. But I wanted to make sure our readers knew Swamps of Jersey, which was a spookier book, A Game Called Dead, which was a more strategic book, and The Weight of Living, which was an emotional book, and now we're going to have the prequel to that. So everyone stay with us. I will turn his mic back on if he stops giving away secrets here, but I do have to pay the bills.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115. See you there.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
we're back in the studio, and I will allow Mike's live mic again to have some feed there. So if you're on our Hot and Hotter page, we do have a picture of the three books that we're talking about in this particular series. And then we'll make sure that we have a website link, because Mike also does some other short stories, and you'll often publish pieces of that and pieces of the books that you're writing on. Sometimes you'll just say, I'm not sure about this, or here's the first paragraph or the second paragraph.
Yeah, you try to, part of it is experimentation. You're throwing things out there to see whether people respond either positively or negatively. Also, it's a little self-promotion. You want to remind people that you're working on things. And very often the chapters that get put up on my website remain intact, and very often they change. In some cases, stuff showed up on my website that never showed up anywhere, simply because, as you write the, you know, I would like to pretend that I'm the most organized writer in the world, but I'm not. And I know where things are going, and then you always wait for surprises. One of the key surprises in A Weight of Living, and let me back up on this story. This is, it starts very simply. A young girl is found in a grocery store parking lot in a cold March night wearing a tank top and shorts. And the first discussion at the police station is intended to make the reader think that she's homeless and was dumpster diving. And in fact, you find out later that she's not. And she was put in the parking lot deliberately so that the police would find her. And the story gets very involved. And there was a scene, there was sort of a transitional scene where I need to have somebody in court, and a nun showed up. I didn't know she was going to show up. She turns out she's known him, known Frank Nagler since the fourth or fifth grade, and she calls him Francis, and it drives him crazy because no one calls him Francis. Everyone calls him Frank. She becomes the most important character in the book, practically, because as he finds out later, she's sort of pursuing the same lines of inquiry about this girl that he is. And when they mesh, it gets both more clear about what's going on, but also gets murkier, because more and more people are affected by the character who is the chief evil in the book, and his Frank calls him Tank Gerritsen. When I thought of Tank Gerritsen, I was trying to create the most evil character I could think of. And I think I succeeded, because the guy's really, really, really nasty. He has no conscience, no sense of the world beyond himself, and he is out to do harm. And so there's a whole group of people who are trying to get out of his way and also make him pay for the harm that he has caused. It's an emotional story. Things happen to Frank that haven't happened in other books, and he's deeply hurt by them. And Frank's the guy who's deeply hurt anyway, because that's what he is. His wife died when he was in his early 20s, and he never got over it because he never grieved. He became the police officer who was just dealing with loss by being a policeman and not addressing his own needs. And when The Weight of Living ended, the problem is that I knew what the last line of the book was going to be, and I thought that Frank Nagler would write it, would say it. He doesn't. Another character says it, and it was a little bit of a surprise. And I'll tell you this, my copy editor at my publisher sent me back the draft, asked me if I had failed to send her the entire manuscript because the story ends abruptly. And I said no, and here's the reason. In the other two books, Frank goes through a brief decompression period where he sort of looks in the mirror after the crimes have been solved and asks, okay, I'm standing on the ground and I'm still breathing, so life goes on. In The Weight of Living, Frank doesn't have that opportunity. He decides that Tank's evil is so bad that he can't worry about himself. He's going to worry about everybody else that he's trying to pull out of this terrible pit of emotion that they're caught in while trying to catch Tank and his accomplices. So the story ends, and you leave Frank hanging out there off the cliff. So like Sergeant Schultz and Beetle Bailey, he's hanging on that one little branch that's about to pull out of the cliff. So I've been told that I have to get the next one written so people know what's going to happen to Frank. But they've also asked about who is Frank. So I'm writing the prequel to help explain who Frank is.
Is Sister Catherine in the prequel?
She's going to be.
She has to be, right?
Yeah, because we're going back 20 years to when his wife was alive. And this is the problem with writing the prequel. And we're talking on a break. I know exactly what has to be in the story. I mean, because I've already put it in other stories. But I have to write it as if I don't know it. And that's the hard part, because I spent a few months writing what I called notebook sections, which was simply just a list of things that had to be in the story. I was trying to write them in dialogue and write them in explanation, and it wasn't working because it was me sort of organizing the chaos. And I finally, about a month ago, got to the point where I began to trust the characters to tell the story. And it's progressed quite rapidly now that I did that, because that's where you're supposed to go anyway. You're supposed to let the characters direct your story and let them go.
We're going to be talking more about that. Right now we do have our commercial time here because it is past the 30-minute mark here. But we'll be back in the studio to talk a little bit more with Michael Stephen Daigle about the books and specifically about how the prequel is going to go. Stay with us.
On the dresser by your ring, and it's empty. So right now I don't feel a thing, and I'll be hurting when I wake up on the floor, and I'll be over it by noon. And that's the difference between the whiskey and you.
Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The river's going to be about 6 feet above where it typically would be. So this is serious risk if you're in those low-lying areas.
Officials in Jacksonville, Florida, telling residents to get to higher ground as rivers start to overflow their banks. Tropical Storm Irma now roaring through the northern part of Florida into Georgia before heading into Alabama later today. The damage from then Hurricane Irma just starting to be assessed. This man on Marco Island, Florida.
And we had to rescue people from homes last night. We were fortunate most of our island residents left voluntarily and on a mandatory evacuation order earlier in the week. But we did have about 1,000 who stayed behind, along with 100 first responders.
With Tropical Storm Irma approaching Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson Airport canceling flights because of dangerous crosswinds. This is USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
This is an occasion that is extraordinary, and it'll always be extraordinary.
President Trump speaking today at the 9/11 memorial at the Pentagon.
No force on earth can ever take away your memories, diminish your love, or break your will to endure and carry on and go forward.
Vice President Mike Pence, attending the memorial at the Flight 93 crash site in Pennsylvania, he paid tribute to the men and women who fought back against the Islamic terrorists on that flight.
When heroes fall, the nation mourns. For no greater love is a man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. To the families of the fallen, the memory of your loved ones will never die.
More information coming from a North Texas shooting that left 8 people dead. Police in Plano, Texas have not released a lot of information other than saying a suspect killed 7 adults before being shot by an officer. USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge. I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. After 15 years on Wall Street, I founded the VRA in 2003, my daily investment newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. I tell you what to buy and when to sell and take profits, and I only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free 2-week membership. Simply go to VRAinsider.com. You also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. Join us now at VRAinsider.com.
People getting a sneak peek of the new iPhones because of a leak of Apple software. Here's Chris Barnes.
A leak of Apple software revealing clues about the new iPhone models, which are to be launched on Tuesday in California. The leak says the new premium iPhone will be called the iPhone X, while the cheaper models will be called the iPhone 8 and iPhone 8 Plus. The iPhone X is said to include wireless charging, facial recognition, and an edge-to-edge display. I'm Chris Barnes.
When you clean your house, do you use a lot of items like bleach? It might not be good for you. Here's Mark Mayfield.
Researchers at Harvard and the French National Institute of Health and Medical Research looked at common disinfectants like bleach and hydrogen peroxide and found that the risk of developing chronic obstructive pulmonary disease went up by almost a third. Scientists had previously recognized a link between disinfectants and asthma, but this is the first time they found a connection to COPD.
Longtime sports producer and network executive Don Ohlmeyer is dead. Ohlmeyer's death was announced over national television last night by football play-by-play announcer and Ohlmeyer's longtime friend Al Michaels. Besides being a producer for ABC Sports, Ohlmeyer served as the West Coast president of NBC when the network was in the ratings basement. During his watch, Ohlmeyer coined the term must-see TV and introduced a slate of shows like Friends, ER, Frasier, Seinfeld, and Law & Order. Ohlmeyer was 72. USA Radio News.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle. We're at Hot and Hunter Den, using our time wisely between breaks. And I don't know, we were talking about the last line from Weight of Living. I don't know if you want to read that line that ended up not being Frank's line or if you want the readers to kind of figure it out.
I don't want to read it to him because I'd really like him to read the book. But I'll tell you that in the...
I think that's called shameless self-promotion.
Shameless self-promotion, yes.
As any author who is trying to get books sold at Walmart.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Weight of Living of the three books was the most personally complex. The characters are interwoven and carry a lot of weight. And as I started to write it, I wanted to write characters. I've already wrote the bad guy. He's the most evil guy I could think of.
We're on Tank.
Okay. Tank Garretson. And Frank hooks up for exchanging information with an attorney or a detective from Atlanta who stops in the middle of a whole thing and says, "You called him Tank? I like that. I like the name Tank. That's a good name for him." And it was, you know, as Nagler says, you know, something blunt and stupid, and destructive. But what happens is the characters are deeply involved in trying to get both feet on the ground at the same time, except they've been whacked in the knees so many times it's hard for them to stand. Frank finds out that they're all lying to him constantly, and it's a matter of him trying to sort through which of the lies are closer to the truth and which are just fabrications in self-defense. And even the nun, who is at the heart of a lot of the machinations of the book, is lying to Frank. And so it's a complex plot, and you're working through it, and the cop work supports the work that's going on in the background because these characters are also trying to find Tank because they have a huge grudge against him because of the damage that he has done to them. So you got two sources of conflict, and it's a matter of who is going to win and who's going to capture him. And Tank is very clever. He has this ability to convince people to do dirty work for him, much like an old mob man, an old mob godfather. And it's a surprising number of people who he has this ability to find stuff on them and hold it over their heads and get them to do both financial crimes and physical crimes, because he'll expose them otherwise. Or in his completely heartless world, he'll kill them. He's that kind of an evil kind of guy. But the other characters are trying to get out from under him. And Nagler gets caught up in that, and he and his group of people, because we carry, this is a series that carries along a group of people who work with Frank a lot, and they become targets. And actually, I used an incident that happened to a reporter friend of mine in Maine who was investigating a story. We were writing a story or investigating a story that might have involved a county district attorney. And Marie found herself coming out of work one night, and her car was completely boxed in by two very large pickup trucks. So she wiggled her way out of it, kind of gently bumping off. And she had a Toyota Celica or something like that, weighed about 5 pounds. You know, and these were Ford 3500s and, you know, weighed 10,000 pounds apiece. And the next morning, six cops came into the office and arrested her and charged her with leaving the scene of a property damage accident. The case got thrown out, and they bought our defense. Our defense was that act was part of a conspiracy to get us to back off of the newspaper story. We didn't. She went to court. The judge actually agreed with us, suspended her sentence, had to fine her $25 because she actually admitted that she did leave the scene, but then he suspended the fine. And I used that particular scene for reporter Jimmy Dawson, whose car gets boxed in by a couple of big fire trucks, and that's just a tribute to my friend Marie Howard, simply because it was also, we were deeply involved with that, and it was kind of fun to use. But that's the level that Tank, Garrison, and all his allies go to harass and dissuade Nagler and his guys from following any of their leads by harassing them, putting them in jail, shooting at him. Frank gets shot at a couple of different times in this one. So you've got this personal internal story, and then you've got all of this external action of all these guys trying to get away with their circuits, their sets of crimes. And it's a pretty involving story.
Okay. Well, we're going to learn more about that. We'll be back after we take a short break.
Listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115. See you there.
And we're back here live at the studio in Houghton Hunter, and I'm your host, Georgine Trinkle, joined today by author Michael Stephen Daigle, talking about The Weight of Living and one of the characters in that book. Michael is an author that is able to sell his books at some of the major retailers such as Barnes & Noble, Walmart, and Amazon.com. Could pick up any of his three books in the Frank Nagler series, which is really what we're focused on today. We were just talking about Tank, who's in the third book, The Weight of Living, which is, I think, a very great name, really, a really good name for a New Jersey type character that's a bad person, right?
Yeah, he came out of... part of it was is that as I was writing his names... His actual name is Randolph Gerritsen, and Frank gets a hold of his file from a detective in Atlanta, and there's a picture of Tank when he was taken when he was in the military. He's got a square head. He's got a military haircut, dark, brooding eyes, and Frank muses that said, well, you know, I'll bet Randolph, old Randy there, nobody called you Randolph in the military. So what did they call you? And he said, you know what? I bet they called you Tank. That seems like a perfectly good name for someone who looks like you. So Tank became it, and he was referred to in the story all the way through it as Tank.
I like that name. It's pretty visual. You think of someone with a really big Cadillac, maybe, or some kind of massive Lincoln Continental driving around and throwing their weight around, and you have weight in the title, so it sort of seems like it works.
He was an interesting character because he's another one of these background guys. He shows up physically about halfway through the book, and for Nagler, it's a visceral opportunity because he's spoken to him on the phone a few times because Tank is one of these, you know, as all criminals are, they're amazingly egotistical. So Tank calls Nagler on his cell phone all the time, berates him and sort of teases him. But when he finally shows up, Frank has this visceral reaction because he recognizes immediately, even from the until he turned around and faced him, he knew from the rear that that was Tank. He has this physical presence about himself, and it becomes so, you know, and that scene had to be developed because they had to have Tank in New Jersey in order for Frank to catch him.
A name like Tank, you kind of belong in New Jersey.
You belong in New Jersey, but he's an organized, dastardly kind of guy, and the damage he does to a lot of people is real in the book, and that's it was an emotional. There's emotional scenes that were hard to write, but you've got characters who are confronting the real direct pain in their life to move on, and that's very fitting for a guy like Frank Nagler, who's been, you know, borderline depressive most of his life, especially since his wife died. Which is sort of what the initial story of Just Come Home is about. And the title of that comes from, it's what, and this, I'm not giving anything away in the, because they give it away in the swamps of Jersey. Nagler's wife dies early when she was 23, 24. She died of leukemia, and he went into an emotional shell. And that's where he's been. Writing Just Come Home, I have to take him out of that emotional shell and have him be pre-depressive Frank. So they spend the first part of the first chapter choosing, it's his first day of work as a detective. There's a shakeup in the police department. They're letting people go. He's a patrolman. He gets assigned to be a detective. So she has to go out and buy him new clothes. And so there's a scene where he's trying on new clothes. The hard part of writing her is that she's the woman whose death put him into a 20-year funk. She has to be different than Lauren Fox, who's his companion in the other books, but she can't be a saint, you know. So there's a balance here, and because this is a murder mystery, I've got like three shots to show who Martha is, because the one thing that she knows, and this is going to become part of the tension of the book as Frank is chasing a serial killer around Ironton, is in the back of his mind, he knows that his wife is going to die of cancer. It's just a matter of when and how he's going to respond to that. And I can't, as the writer of that, I can't presage it. I can't say on page 22 that in 112 pages, she's dead. Frank has to work his way towards that. And that's going to be the hard part. But also writing her, she cannot be perfect, and she's not. She's going to be cranky. She's going to be, she has her own life and her own personality, but they're both 23, 24 years old. They've been in a couple since they were in elementary school, you know. So they share this great attachment to one another. But she is trying to shield him from the fact that she knows that she's going to die. And so she lies to him about it sometimes. And they're going to have these conversations where it's, you know, you have to tell me the truth, and it's on Frank, I'm telling you the truth as I know it kind of thing, because she doesn't want him to lose focus on catching the bad guy and not to worry about her. And that hasn't been written yet, but it's going to be a heartbreaking scene. The challenge of writing that, I know I'm staring at. How do you write the death scene in a way that fits within a murder mystery and also sets your character for the next four books, which is pretty much what it has to do.
Is that all?
Yeah. That's all.
Gee, that doesn't sound like very much. Well, it is a... all the books with Frank, he is seasoned and he is hard and cynical, but you know... because of the reference to his deceased wife, you know that heart is full and capable and not damaged in a cynical way, but shut off, which is very different than being, you know, having your heart broken and becoming cynical. And this is different. This is choosing to shut it off because the pain of the grief is so great that you don't want to let any other emotions in because it hurts too much.
Yeah, and the thing with Frank, he gets in a conflict with his partner, a guy named Chris Foley. And in the first book, I'm already setting this tension up, and Foley keeps – Frank is a working class guy. He grew up in Ironton, New Jersey. His father worked in the iron mills. His grandfather was a miner. So he's used to that hard sort of marginal existence. It turns out that Foley from South Jersey sort of lived in the whole thing, but Frank approaches life with a sense of optimism. Foley approaches life with a huge chip on his shoulder and a sense of a distress and anger, and that becomes their conflict that carries on through the other books and explains why Foley becomes the nemesis of Nagler, even during this investigation. In Just Come Home, they're working on an investigation. Foley wants it to be the home run. He figures that if he catches the bad guy, he'll get promoted to captain. And Nagler just wants to catch the bad guy.
Well, Mike, I don't know how it happens, but our radio time always goes so quickly. We're just about ready to wrap up our hour together here in the studio. We were really promoting and celebrating Reading, National Reading Day. So, unfortunately, not everyone has the joy and the love of reading that we have, and how the characters live in our head, and it's such a great escape. So we want to celebrate National Reading Day, and certainly by having a local author in the studio here live is a great way to do it. I'd encourage everyone who is looking for a book to be on the beach, and it doesn't have to be the Jersey Shore. It could be Rhode Island, it could be Maine, any. This is a great beach book, The Weight of Living. And also Kindle owners, anyone who wants to get an electronic copy of the book, you can do so on the sites that we mentioned, Amazon.com, Walmart.com, and Barnes & Noble. And the book itself, if you're like me, you like the old-fashioned page-turning, I like the spine kind of girl that I am, you can get those and have those shipped to you. And Mike also does a fair number of events throughout New Jersey at different libraries and community events. So you can check out his website, which we will post a link to. I'm sorry I didn't do that before today, but that'll be on our Hot and Hunterdon page. So I hope everyone pays attention to that. And we'll be wrapping up our show today, and we'll be back next week in the studio. Ruth Ann Celebration Hour will be on a rewind, but we hope you join us next week. Have a great day.
Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The river's going to be above about six feet above where it typically would be. So this is serious risk if you're in those low-lying areas.
Officials in Jacksonville, Florida, telling residents to get to higher ground as rivers start to overflow their banks. Tropical Storm Irma now roaring through the northern part of Florida into Georgia before heading into Alabama later today. The damage from then Hurricane Irma just starting to be assessed. This man on Marco Island, Florida.
And we had to rescue people from homes last night. We were fortunate most of our island residents left voluntarily and on a mandatory evacuation order earlier in the week. But we did have about 1,000 who stayed behind along with 100 first responders.
With Tropical Storm Irma approaching Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson Airport canceling flights because of dangerous crosswinds. This is USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
This is an occasion that is extraordinary, and it'll always be extraordinary.
President Trump speaking today at the 9/11 memorial at the Pentagon.
No force on earth can ever take away your memories, diminish your love, or break your will to endure and carry on and go forward.
Vice President Mike Pence, attending the memorial at the Flight 93 crash site in Pennsylvania, he paid tribute to the men and women who fought back against the Islamic terrorists on that flight.
When heroes fall, the nation mourns. For no greater love is a man than this, that he should lay down his life for his friends. To the families of the fallen, the memory of your loved ones will never die.
More information coming from a North Texas shooting that left 8 people dead. Police in Plano, Texas have not released a lot of information other than saying a suspect killed 7 adults before being shot by an officer. USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge. I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory,